I guess next week we're going to get to brag about our action tracks and how good they are. But we're doing these kind of community groups in our church called action tracks, which not much action happens and it's not really a track. Discuss. Anyway, so my group is doing this kind of cooking thing at my house on Tuesday nights. And I refrain from calling it a class. But anyway, it's been great. We've had a great time. And Jake is coming to our class, and he actually summed it up perfectly. He said, it's like every week we come, and it's kind of like this big mess. And you start off, and you get like a half hour in, and it's like, are we going to make anything? And then an hour and a half later, somehow it's all done, and it's all edible. I'm like, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. So, it's kind of our secret to success. I don't know if you have that picture. I don't know if you guys can see this. But like, so I wish Sherry was kind of out of the way because you could see the rest of us having a great time in the background just eating food. But that's our secret. Sherry does all the work. She's got like four, she's got four pots going at once and everybody else is in the background eating. So anyway, next time there's an action track, get Sherry in your group so you guys can all just take it easy. So, okay, thanks. So today I get to talk about the Bible is truth. That's our topic for today. And it's kind of funny to me because the last couple weeks we've heard about the way the body works. Everyone plays a part and that we're all kind of like parts on the bicycle, but we have to stay connected to Jesus or we can't do anything, right? And the last week, Don tackled, we work like it's all up to us and we pray like it's all up to God. And it totally reminds me when a while ago, Matthew and I were preaching through Romans, and Matthew would always complain that I got all the easy topics, and he's kind of a baby about it, honestly. No, I'm just kidding, he wasn't. But here we go again. All I have to do is stand up here to say the Bible is truth. It's fantastic. So, but to start it off, Norm, will you just shout out a prayer, get us going, and then we'll go. Amen. All right. Yes, Lord. So, okay. The Bible is truth. And I kind of want to start off just talking about the Bible in general. And I think a lot of people probably come to the Bible as a different kind of book. We all might have our different perspective on the Bible. We might come to it as a kind of moral handbook to help us, you know, what should we do? Or maybe a self-help book. It's got lots of wisdom to help us live our life well, right? And I think a lot of people spend a lot of time looking at it like a historical document, right? And I just found this scripture, and I feel like it's like the foreword from the author, okay, from God. And because all the Bible simply is God's word, right? It's what God has spoken to us, what he feels like is so important, he's got to put it down on paper for us to know, right? And he says this, I think actually we have the scripture. There it is. Okay, so this is the foreword from the author. This is what God would say to us as we come to him and come to his word. He says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. I thought that was great. Judy read, come and taste that the Lord is good, right? And that's what the Bible's about. It's the word of God. And he says, come and drink. Come and eat. Come that your soul may live. And the Bible answers some of the most important questions that we face as human beings. And I was thinking about it. I think the most important question in life is, what's life for? You know, what are we living for? What is that first thing that is worth living for, that's actually worth going through life? And God speaks in his word, and he says, I am. I'm worthy of that. I'm worthy of your focus. I'm worthy of everything you give. And there's a few things I'd like to, you can take it down for now, Mary, thanks. There's a few things, some crucial things, some crucial truths that the Bible speaks that I'd just like to kind of highlight, and then we'll move on. So first of all, the Bible is truth about God, which is the most important thing. And first of all, the Bible is truth about who God is and what he's done for us. And John actually highlighted this a couple weeks ago. He looked at the scripture and he said, we got to ask these questions, right, first of all. The first one is who God is and what he's done for us. And the answer, what that answers is, what's that worth living for? What's that greatest thing in life? And secondly, and this is crucial for us, the Bible answers, God has spoken in the Bible what God thinks of us, okay? And just thinking that, I think all of us are after truth about who we are. We're after our value. You know, what are we worth? What am I capable of? What am I not capable of? All these kind of things. And how we get to that truth is by the opinions of those around us, right? The opinions that shaped you were whoever raised you, whether if they loved you and valued you, or if they didn't love you so much and didn't value you so much, that significantly impacts the way you look at yourself, the way you look at the word, right? And I've been reading in Isaiah, and I decided to read Isaiah and just kind of say, God, I want to know from Isaiah who you are, what your heart is, what you care about, and what you think of us. And honestly, it's been wonderful. And I've noticed sometimes God speaks to us in Isaiah and all throughout the Bible, of course, and he comes as like the gentle shepherd, and he says, you know, I'll pick you up and hold you close to my chest and carry you. I use my right hand to uphold you. You know, he says all these wonderful things. Other times, God comes in with what I like to call the stun punch to the face, which I don't know if you ever, one of my favorite things in movies is like, you know, there's that really annoying character who won't shut up and he's all nervous and the hero's just like, poof. And it just, you know, like perspective. Ah. And I think God lovingly does that to us sometimes. Disappointingly, it's not something we're supposed to do, but it's more what God does. Sometimes, you know, you're tempted. But he says in Isaiah 51, 7 and 8, he says, hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts, do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, the worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. And what God's saying is, he's saying, I understand that the opinions of people around you are important to you. I understand that it shapes you and that, you know, we can take that on as our truth. But what God is saying, remember we were singing today, the first and last word will always be his, right? God's saying, I created you, and the only thing that really matters in your life is what I think of you. That's what truth is. And we desperately need to get in his word to know what God thinks of us, because we're eternal beings. We're going to last forever. And what God thinks of us is truth that will be true for all time. Okay. Thirdly, the Bible, Psalm 119 says, is a word unto a word. Just gonna take a little break here for a second. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the third thing the Bible tells us is what God wants us to do, and it's basically a guide for fulfilling our purpose, our reason for being alive, why he put us here. The Bible is truth about what God wants us to do, okay? So, there's many more things that the Bible is truth about, but when we go into the Bible, it's very important that we ask ourselves, who is God? And what does God think of me? And what does God want me to do? Because he's on the other end. It's his words. He wants you to know. And that's what real truth is. Another way to look at the Bible, and I love this, is that the Bible is a portrait of Jesus, okay? And if you step back and look at the Bible as a whole, you could see this picture of Jesus. And the background of this picture is the Old Testament, the part of the Bible before Jesus came. And when you look at that picture and you look at the background, you see God the Father. You see who God is. And you see God in all his glory and all his splendor. You see God as the judge of the whole earth. You see God in his righteousness and his power. And you see God who's pretty scary. I mean, he's really scary. But he's also the creator of life. He also sustains life. And he also loves his people, right? And that's this background of the picture. And also in the background is us. And you see man, and we were created to see God as that first thing, to live for him as the most important thing. But then you see that we actually rebelled against God, and we put ourselves falsely in that place, said, no, I'm going to live for myself. And then we see that because of that, there was a separation between us and God, and that God, we were actually separated from God and couldn't have that relationship with him we were made for. And then the rest of that picture in the background is God pursuing a relationship with his people, pursuing a relationship with mankind. But we see that man was never good enough to please God. He was never good enough to be in God's presence because of God's holiness, because of God's glory. But then that background comes to the front and you see Jesus, right? And this is amazing because in the background is all these wonderful things about God, right? All these reasons why he is the number one, why he's who we should be living for. But God put Jesus in the front of that picture because the most important thing God wants on display is his love for us. And we see that Jesus came, and, you know, I'm always struck by when God brought his people into the desert, God came down in his glory and he said, all right, come and worship me. And all of Israel just kind of stood at their tents and was like, I'm not going over there. You know, because God was there in his glory. Man, we can't be with God in his glory. But then Jesus, he set aside his glory and came to earth. And what amazes me is when he set aside his glory, first thing he did was run to the very worst of us. He ran to prostitutes, to thieves, to sinners just like me. That's who Jesus' heart was for. And it's that love that God wants to put on full display. That's the first. That's what he wants your eye drawn to. That's what he wants you to see from the Bible. And the Bible says Jesus set his face like flint and went to the cross. He wouldn't be tarried from the cross because he had to get there so he could die an excruciating death and pay for our sin so that we could be brought back into that relationship with the Father that we were made for in the first place. And that's that picture, right? And then we know that Jesus rose again and went back to be with the Father. And then you have the rest of the Bible, which is about us, who, if we've believed, have a new life in Christ. And it's kind of like we're the clothes surrounding Jesus. You know, we're we're kind of his glory around him, you know, his jewels. And so I just love that, you know, just that picture of the Bible. It's all about Jesus. And Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Then he goes on to say, he says, I will be his Father, he will be my Son, and let everyone worship him. And that's our truth, right? That's what the Bible is all about. It's all about God and what he's done for us through Jesus, right? And I just think about our church, and I think about this group of people gathered and, you know, who God's brought together. And I think what's important or what defines us is how we receive God's truth. And I just want to share just a few thoughts with you guys today about that. The first thing, I think, in God's heart for how we respond to his truth, how we receive his truth, is that we receive it with brokenness and repentance. Okay? So when we look at what Jesus has done for us, and we come and, you know, for me, being in that place of brokenness is, I know, I realize suddenly that I have lived my life for worthless pursuits, that I've been selfish, that I put my place in God's place. And I'm aware of my guilt before God. And it's no fun. That's not a fun place to be. But that's where it starts. And what's amazing about that place is that it was whispered to you by a God who loves you unbelievably. and you've come before Jesus and realized his love for you, that's what brokenness looks like. And then I heard someone say recently that repentance is the hard work of brokenness. And what repentance means is that we turn around completely. It means a total change of mind. And so repentance is, I lived for myself, and now I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to turn around completely, and now he's my God, and now God's word is total authority in my life. Everything, all my actions are governed by his word. And when we do that, when we repent, you know, we stand there guilty, and amazingly, I can just take my guilt and just put it on Jesus. And I can walk totally unashamed. I can totally walk in the light. Isn't that amazing? And that's what we're about. You know, that's we've seen that truth. God has spoken those words of life from his scripture into our life. And all we could do is be broken and turn around and say, you're God, right? And so now we get to live this new life in him, and we get to learn things like Phil was talking about. We can trust God because he has a plan, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a whole new thing we have to learn of relying on God, right? And he is our righteousness because we've put our guilt on him and all those things. But I don't think that's just how we come to God. I think that's what defines us as a people, because we are humble because of what God has done, right? And not only that, he's already done that for us. We already believe in this big God who can do anything for us, right? Because that's what defines us. That's how we've come to him. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I think God would have us be a people who treasure his truth. And let's think, Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And it strikes me that he doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. He doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like an answer book that a man found hidden in a field, and he went and found it, and he had all the answers, and he won every argument he ever got in with anyone, and he proved to the whole world that God existed, right? And all his friends got the same answer book, and they won, you know? And God has just been working on me, because honestly, there's a part of me that wants that wants to be correct, that wants to be right, you know? And I think the difference is in the fruit, okay? I think we treasure truth about God, and we're building this foundation of who Jesus is in our lives, because we want to make sure what we're really standing on is Jesus and not something else. You know, the Bible says about itself that it's like a sword, and it pierces in and it goes, that's not Jesus, get that out. That's not Jesus, get that out. You know, it's, you got to stand on a foundation that's really Jesus, you know. But I think sometimes we're building this foundation that's, all right, well, I've got all my theology figured out perfectly. I know I'm right, right? And I think that the danger is if we lean on that as what we're counting on, if we lean on that for what we know is our strength and our, you know, this is what we've got. We've got our theology. A couple things happen, I think. I think, first of all, we get cynical, because overanalyzation brings paralyzation, right? Or we overanalyze over and over, and we get a little bit cynical. And the other thing that happens is it breeds kind of a hesitancy in responding to God's word. And it can even breed a cowardice. And I'm not saying this as like a big problem in our church. I'm telling you what God's worked on me on, and I hope that it blesses you guys too. But I think sometimes when we hear the word of God, the most important thing that we can say is, I agree with that. I agree with that. Or, I'm not sure I agree with that. And it's like, if you stop and think about that, Jesus said man lives on every word that comes out of the mouth of God, like it's bread, you know? And when God speaks, when we hear his truth, it's like, yes, I'll have that. Yes, God does do that. I'm going to stake my life on that. That's treasuring his truth. And you think about King David in the Bible. He learned everything there was to know about God, and he sang God's praises, right? And then when something happened, he'd come up against this bear. He's like, oh yeah, well, I remember this, God's with me. I'm going to go take on a bear. And then he was walking by Goliath, right? And he took on Goliath. And there's something about treasuring God's truth that breeds courage, that brings us to action. And just one more scripture to share. Remember Jesus said, the man who gets his theology figured out, he gets that truth completely figured out, is like a man who built a house on a rock, right? No, he said, the man who hears and obeys. That's it. It's that simple. And I just love that forward from the author, come and eat and drink, come and eat my food. And sometimes I think God's saying, stop playing with your food and eat it, you know? So we're like building log cabins out of our waffles and stuff. God's like, eat it. You need this. So I hope we are a church that treasures God's truth, you know? And I love the story of David because he treasured God and he went by and saw this big giant insulting God's honor, right? And he couldn't help but act. He had to act because he treasured God. He had to fight for his honor. He had to defend him. And just a thought about that, that I think we look around and, you know, we know truths like his kingdom will just keep expanding. God's kingdom will keep expanding. To his reign, there will be no end, right? But we look around us, and it gets frustrating sometimes, right? Because we see people suffering and people hurting around us. We might even look at our nation and say, I can't believe how it's just a terrible turn our nation's going, you know, with the prayer in schools and different things like that. And we look at the world and just think, oh, it's just terrible where it's going. And I know sometimes I can kind of fantasize about, you know, Christians getting into the limelight of like a great debate and convincing people, no, this is what God wants. You guys should do this. And we should, if we treasure God, we will want to defend his honor and we want to see his justice prevail, right? But I think sometimes in our minds, we want to fight these big battles for that. And it might not be the battle God wants us to fight. And Isaiah 42:1 talks about what Jesus did. It says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. But he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. In faithfulness, he will bring justice. And that just amazes me. That God's plan for his bringing his kingdom on earth was that he would just, he needed a man to walk in faithfulness. That's all God needs. And he sent his son, and Jesus just said, all right, what are you doing, God? What do you want me to do? All right, I'm going to go do that. And the whole time he was headed towards the cross because he knew that's what God did it. That's what God wanted, and he was walking in faithfulness. And thinking about that word a little bit, we think of faithfulness as like, well, Jesus was a good soldier, right? He did his duty. He was faithful. But no, when we look at Jesus, he was full of faith. He was walking and where God wanted him to go, full of faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, that God was who God said he was, that Jesus was who God, you know, what God thought about Jesus was truth. And I think that's so important for us, that what's going to change the world is the Lindens in Turkey just walking faithfully. And us in Dover just walking faithfully, right? And sometimes that means a fight, but a lot of times that means just being a blessing, just serving, just doing what God's called us to do, and then his kingdom comes, right? And we get to see God's justice, which is just that people respond and are saved, right? God's justice is Jesus. So it's about faithfulness. And to bring it back, how do we get faithfulness? How do we have faith? We have to hear the word, right? And the only way for us to know, I mean, I'm listening to Dave. He has all these promises for them going to Turkey, right? They're staking their life on what God has said, going to Turkey. But they wouldn't know what those promises were unless they were in the word, unless they were meeting with God one-on-one, which is a living thing, you know, reading that word from God. And he has put in his promises and said, you can count on this. You can count on this. And it's that faithfulness, but we got to know what God said. We have to know what he's telling us. We have to know, you know, what he wants us to do, who he is, who he thinks we are, all those things. And I just think for our church, I would love for what God's doing in us to be like offering, okay? It's quite funny if you think about why do we give offering on Sunday? Why do we give money to the church, give money to the poor sometimes, give money to God? It's because he has blessed us, right? And therefore, we are generous. God has blessed us, so we want to be generous. And what if we pass the offering plate around and we said this? Look, if you feel generous, why don't you give? But you know what? If you need something, why don't you take it out? Because, you know, some people are ready to give today, but some people have needs. So we want to be able to meet those needs. And I actually heard about a church that did this in the 60s in California, which is pretty funny. But every week, the offering plate would get down to the end and it would be empty. Of course, right? Some people would put in, some people would take out. And I think that's a picture of the church in some ways, because it's great that we can come together in meetings and that we can be fed, right? It's great that we can get together and hear promises, hear truth, worship together. But God has a better thing. God has a greater thing for us than that. And that's to each of us on our own with God, come and drink, come and eat, come and be filled, come get spirit for, you know, have life for your spirit. And in that way, God's going to give you things. God is going to bless you. And then when we get together, it's really about God's blessed me with this. I can share this. There's a generosity of what God's doing in our lives. We come together and it's more of a celebration of all that God's doing in our lives. And I'm just aware that there are there's some struggles a little bit in our private lives with God, because sometimes reading the word is difficult and sometimes it feels dry. Sometimes we don't know where to start, all those kind of things. Well, I would like to pray this morning, because God's word to you is, could we get that back up, Mary? God's word to you is, come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, or your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may have life. And, you know, I think there's a bit of a discipline to reading the Bible. We're doing an alpha right now, which is on Wednesday night at the Wongs, and really practical things like that they'll go through. You know, how do you read your Bible? How do you pray? All those things. And that's good. But, you know, we're a group of people who our main call is to follow Jesus and to help other people follow Jesus. And that's it, right? So if you struggle to read your word a bit, go find somebody in here who's got it down. Not got it down, but they meet with God on a regular basis. And I think it's sometimes you just want to find some ear hair. If you can find some ear hair, it's somebody who's been around for a long time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just want to find someone who's been around for a while and has walked with God for a long time. And as far as I've seen, that seems to produce a fair amount of ear hair. Just my thoughts and my advice on this. No, I wish it was, Beryl. I wish it was only men. In John 16:13, Jesus said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." And when Jesus died and he rose again, he met with a few disciples before he went back to heaven. And he was walking with a few disciples, and they didn't know it was Jesus. This is the best story. And they're walking with Jesus, and they're telling him how sad they were that Jesus was crucified, and they didn't realize it was Jesus. And then he just kind of says to them, he is kind of harsh on them a little bit, but then he just opens up scriptures, it says. He opens it up. And if you feel like scripture is not open to you, if you feel like it's hard work, your first step is you got to meet with Jesus, right? And that's a daily thing. meet with Jesus. And the amazing thing about the Bible is it's that portrait of Jesus. But when we come in faith and we come to him, that Jesus actually meets with us and opens up scriptures through his Holy Spirit. And it's wonderful. So I just wonder if we could sing one more song. I think we have time. And what I'd like to do is, if it's not a matter of maturity, and it's not a matter of intelligence or anything like that. It's a matter of God has written his word because he wants you to come and drink. That's what he said when he came to earth. He said, come and drink. And if anyone would like to come to God this morning, maybe for the first time, or if you would just like some renewed faith, or if you would like faith for the first time, that you're actually going to sit down with God, open your Bible, and he's going to meet with you. Well, he wants to. And he wants to give you his Holy Spirit so that he can do that. So why don't we just do a song? If anyone would like to come up and get prayer, I'd love to pray for you with that. God wants to change. He wants to open it up to you. So let's worship him. And so this is the usual thing where we have to do two things at once. But we have these Connect cards. And we have had a great time as a team praying for you guys on these. And if any prayer requests, please put them down. Any comments, please put them down. We're getting some great comments from you guys. So fill these out, and then we'll pass the offering basket around, and you can kind of chuck everything in there at once.
Lamb of God. Lamb of God. You have become the Savior of us souls. By your blood paid in full, you purchased man for God, and you are worthy of all praise. All of creation yearns for you. And all the heavens join the anthem to the Lamb upon the throne. Lamb of God, you have become the shepherd of my heart. You lead me to quiet streams and wipe away my tears. And you are worthy of all praise. All of creation yearns for you. And all the heavens join the anthem to the Lamb upon.
Jim was sharing, he talked about how do we receive God's truth, and his first point was that we receive it with brokenness and repentance. And I feel like what God is saying to some people here, you know, Jim talked about that God wants us to stop living for ourselves and live for him. It's just really simple. Stop living for ourselves and live for God. And I feel like God is putting his finger on a few people. You know, it's not a question of information. It's not a question of theology. It's not a question of anything else. But you know that God wants you to stop living for yourself and live for him. And that may be someone who's never made that decision. Or it may be somebody, I think also, it's somebody you may have made that decision a long time ago, but it's something, you know, we get to make that decision every day. Every day we decide, am I going to live for myself or live for God? And God is touching a few people here, and you know there's a part of your life, like Jim was saying, where the Holy Spirit is taking that sword and sticking something that you're living for yourself in that area or this area or that. And God just wants you to let that go and to live for him. So let's just keep singing. And I think God wants to do some business with a few people, maybe a lot of us. But let's just worship again. It's a great thing. Stop living for ourselves and live for that Jesus and picture right in the front there of his love for us. So let's sing that song again.
Lamb of God, you took away the sting of death and sin.